Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
The truth is this. Freedom comes from understanding the Word. Our present day ignorance of the truth, so often, many times, it results in unnecessary grief and sorrow in the lives of the average Christian.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Thank you, Brother Corey. Welcome, truth seekers, to Truth Infusion. And this is the radio program for Truth Infusion Ministries. I want to give a big thank you to God Almighty for all that's going on in Truth Infusion Ministries, and it's always important to me, time to time, to update you guys on where we are. The Lord is just blessing us on all hands. We are seeing some amazing things take place and some amazing opportunities that are coming up, doors that are opening for us, and me and the Truth Infusion team, our ministers, our worship team, Truth Infusion Worship. God's really blessing us, and we're able to see a lot of things going on here lately in some of the worship nights that God has given us. We're seeing souls saved. And it's just, you know, I tell people at the end of an event, I'm just excited to be in the room. Watch God work. Watch Him do what He does. And so the worship band is rolling. We've got a lot of other projects that are just really beginning to take shape. I'm excited in the near future to be able to tell you about some things that we're working on. But right now, they're still in the developmental stages. But they're going to be neat opportunities and avenues for teaching and for getting the word out there, which is the primary thrust of what we do. Truth Infusion is about infusing the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true doctrine of the word, not into any one particular church or brand of denomination, but to anyone who is seeking. We believe that if you are seeking and God has put a word in our mouth that will bless your heart, then He will line us up together. Our paths will cross, whether it's on a radio program, maybe you're listening by the radio right now, or perhaps you stream us via the internet and the website. Whatever the case, maybe it's the blog site, I don't know, but God's got a word for you, and I'm excited about the word that He's put on my mind and my heart for today. It's something actually that I've been wanting to do for quite a while, and there's a little personal backstory to the teaching we're going to do today, and it may spill over into next week's show, depends on how excited I get and how much we get done, how far we get through this teaching, but I want to tell you kind of a little personal backstory of where this come from. The teaching you're going to receive today, well, it's as old as the Apostle Paul, obviously, because we're going to read it out of one of his epistles. But this particular outline for teaching this passage of Scripture, this particular outline is three generations old now. Excuse me. Let me tell you what I mean when I say that. My grandfather, who was a pastor and a preacher, this outline for this particular topic in this passage of Scripture was given to my grandfather. And he pulled this this organization of this Scripture together in the way that I'm going to teach it to you. And then he more or less passed it on to my father. My father's a preacher also, has been for many years. And my father preached this sermon many times. Many times I remember in revivals or on special occasions or whatever, you know, anytime the Word of God comes and it's inspired and anointed, it's a special occasion. But I remember hearing my dad preach this sermon. And so here am I, a minister now in my own right, and Truth Infusion is several years old now. And just a couple of years ago, I was at a revival or a church service, I'm not remember which one at this point, but God put this particular topic of the rapture of the church on my heart, and you know, I thought, I have heard my father and my grandfather with this particular outline. I think I could do it myself. And lo and behold, God refreshed it to my memory. So a neat thing has taken place for me, especially, it's personal, I guess, but to know that it's a message, it's a word that has passed through my grandfather, my dad, and now I use it. I've preached this sermon two or three times now. And so I want to bring this to you, the radio audience, the internet audience out there, and I want to talk to you today about one of the more exciting topics in the Word of God. If this doesn't get you excited, if you belong to Jesus Christ, and the thoughts and the concepts of the rapture of the church, the day that Jesus comes and calls us away from this world, these struggles, this sin, into that land of promise, into that eternal hope, into that the hope of righteousness, if you will. If that day, that moment, the reality of that moment doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. I don't know what will. And I pray that God has given through this outline of this sermon, and I've made it my own. I've changed and tweaked it here and there and done this, you know, in some ways that God has impressed me to do it. But the rudiments of the outline are there, and the scripture is the scripture. I want to teach you today, I want to start teaching today about the rapture, about what the Bible says about the moment in time when Jesus is going to return to receive His bride. The return of the King is what I've entitled this teaching. So for the next, this week and maybe next week perhaps, we're going to talk about the return of the King, the bridegroom returning for His bride, the church. And we're going to do this out of the book of 1 Thessalonians primarily in chapter 4. Very familiar bit of scripture, passage of scripture that Paul uses to explain not just that the rapture is going to happen. See, that's not what I'm doing. I'm not trying to convince some people that are in the church that don't think there is such a thing as a rapture. I'm not trying to get premillennial, amillennial, postmillennial. I'm not interested in all that. Here's what I know. Scripture that we're going to look at today is very pointed and very deliberate in saying it's going to happen. And in fact, here are the details about what it will be like. And it's the details that get me excited. You know, it is the details that puts flesh on my faith, that makes what I believe come alive. And that's what I'm hoping takes place for you today as we get into some exciting stuff. We're going to start with prayer, and then we're going to go into this teaching, the return of the King. Heavenly Father, I ask that in the next few moments that You have Your way. Holy Spirit, would you be the teacher? Would You be the preacher? Would You take this passage of Scripture and divide it correctly? God, if there's something in my heart and mind that's not correct that You don't want, remove it and speak for me, Lord, because I know that when Your word, Your truth, goes out into the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, that seed can be planted in fertile soil and great things grow from it. So God, anoint me to do this. Anoint the listeners and bless us all with Your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give you a little background on this passage in 1 Thessalonians. Now, Paul goes to First Thessalonians. Paul goes to the city of Thessalonica to found a church. He wasn't there very long. It wasn't very long before he was run out of town, well before Paul was finished discipling and growing and teaching this body of believers. Now, Paul thinks that they'll throw me out of town, so be it, but I'm going to stay in a place very, very close to, so that I can still have access to the church and continue the work there. So Paul leaves Thessalonica and he goes to the nearby town of Berea with the intention of setting up shop and still having access to the church. The problem is Paul gets evicted. He gets evicted here also. So he's kicked out of Thessalonica. He's kicked out of Berea. And he winds up in Athens. Too far away for Paul to have close access to the church. Paul's very concerned about this fledgling church that he had left. And so what we end up having with the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians is these are letters that Paul sends back to the church in Thessalonica to encourage them, to teach them, to dispel myths and rumors that arise in the church, to answer questions that arise after Paul leaves, after he's forced to leave. And one of the questions that arises in the church evidently was something like this. message comes back from one of the men that he's sending back and forth to Thessalonica, and here's what he gets at some point. Paul, we know Jesus' return is imminent. We know that Jesus is going to return. You see, you have to understand that one of the hallmarks of the apostleship of Paul, one of the things you see that Paul does in all the different churches and the places that he founds a body of believers, is he founds these churches and disciples the believers from the vantage point to believe with all their heart that the return of the king was imminent, that Jesus is coming back. This is what he taught them. Not just like, we say that all the time in our churches in modern day America. We look at the signs of the time. We look at America falling apart. We look at how morally bankrupt and spiritually awful things have become. And we say, well, this is obvious. The return is soon. Jesus is coming back soon. And I think he is. I believe that. I think we are the 11th hour generation, right on the doorstep of seeing the return of the king. But we say these things so often that they almost just become cliche to us. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Yes, I believe that. It might be today. Hallelujah. But does it really affect our day-to-day life? When we say that, does it affect us in such a way that we believe we get empowered to say, I've got to go to work now. I'm losing time. I'm losing opportunity. I've got friends. I've got family. I've got coworkers that don't understand Christ. Or maybe they're half in and half out, and they don't understand how potentially dangerous it is to play with their faith. They've got to know the truth. Are we excited? Do we have the urgency to minister Jesus is coming soon as if he really is coming soon? And it's not just a bumper sticker or something on a t-shirt that's a good Christian saying to get on with. But it's got to be more than cliche. It's got to be more than bumper sticker material, than Christian t-shirt material. Paul would teach them the urgency that Jesus would be back very soon to receive them. They believed in the resurrection of Christ, and they believed in the return of Christ because Paul determined that certain doctrines, certain beliefs would be foundational to the churches that he founded. And this was one of them. Jesus is coming back soon. So here's the question that comes to Paul. He's in Athens. The church is doing their best in Thessalonica. And one of Paul's disciples comes back with this question. It's something like this. The church is asking, Paul, we know that Jesus' return is imminent. So what about the believers, our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our kids perhaps, that have died? The people in the church that believed in Christ, they were Christians, and now they've died. And the question is, Paul, will they miss out on the return of the king? Will they miss the return? Are they just dead and gone? What about the dead in Christ? And with that as the backdrop, Paul writes this passage of Scripture. It's actually a letter that he writes from Athens to Thessalonica to begin to answer this question. So I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 13 through 18. Give you the passage of Scripture that Paul sent, and then we're going to teach on that for a little bit. The time we have left today, we'll begin this teaching. Here's what Paul wrote to them. He said, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Let me read verse 13 again and make a couple of comments here. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. We have this cliche, this saying, ignorance is bliss. I want to tell you something. You don't have to live very long to understand that ignorance is not always bliss, especially when it comes to the Word of God. Understanding the truth, the things of the God, the teachings of the Bible sets us free. It's one of my favorite sayings. I love this. Doctrine equals freedom. Most people in the church today, you say the D word, doctrine, and they flip the switch. They turn you off. They turn the light out on you. They're not interested in stuff like that, the depth of the word and big theological terminology. I want to tell you something. Listen to me, truth seekers. If you're not seeking the Lord for a depth of understanding in His Word, you are missing the power and the freedom that comes through the Word. Understanding the truth sets us free. This church is a prime example. They were struggling under ignorant assumption. They struggled to understand resurrection because they had not received the teaching from Paul as to what it was all about and how it worked. And so they were dealing with anxieties and worries and fears and grief and a type of sorrow like the world sorrows. See, Paul was saying, you don't have to sorrow like the world does. You can have a different type of grieving process. Your hope doesn't have to be, you can have hope that doesn't leave you destitute and in being smothered and choked away by the grip of grief. They struggled because they didn't have an understanding of resurrection the way they needed to. They wondered if their loved ones were going to miss the return of Jesus Christ. When the King came, would they miss it because they had died before the return? You see, ignorance was resulting in grief and sorrow where the Thessalonican church was concerned. Ignorance is not always bliss. Just because you're an ignorant child of God doesn't mean you have all the protection and ignorant happiness, naivete, however you want to label it. The truth is this. Freedom comes from understanding the Word. Our present day ignorance of the truth, so often, many times, it results in unnecessary grief and sorrow in the lives of the average Christian. And we don't even know what we don't know. We struggle with failure and with difficulty thinking this is just how it's going to be, when the truth is everything you need for life and godliness is found through the Spirit and the Word of God. But if we don't have the mindset and the heart set that we are going to find the deep treasures of the Word and seek them out, then we are doomed to struggle in ignorance. That's why Truth Infusion is out here, hollering it out. Be seekers of the Word. Find the truth, and the truth will set you free. In today's church, we have too many spiritually dead preachers. I ain't afraid to say that. I love the church, and preachers and pastors are my heroes. But too many preachers today standing behind pulpits, behind television cameras, that have no real concept of the basic foundational understanding and truths of the Word of God, and they are spiritually dead. Oh, they're talking a whole lot. They're moving around a whole lot. And they're fooling a lot of the Christian world because they have the drippings and the trappings of success in the ministry. But since when did wealth and prosperity mean that you are spiritually right? Please read through the New Testament and find me the apostle or the disciple that had the jet to fly and the Rolls Royce and the Rolex on their arm and a big gold star on their dressing room before they came out to preach in front of the cameras. Many of them were in prisons for most of their life and were beheaded for their efforts. We have too many spiritually dead preachers preaching dead sermons to spiritually dead churches. And look, I know people don't want to hear a radio program with somebody saying something like that, but you know what? The modern day philosophy in the church, look where that's gotten us. I want to tell you, there is freedom, there is life, more abundant in the unadulterated truth of the Word of God. Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to the Word of God. You need to know. You need to know what the promises are. You need to know what the truth is. You need to know how to receive the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're not in the Word, your faith will not grow. Period. End of sentence. So many Christians today, I'm talking about Christians now, so many Christians today are living in sorrow over misunderstood conditions. Misunderstood Bible truth, bad doctrine, The conditions of our lives, our families, our country, our churches is poor because our understanding of the truth is poor. The Thessalonican church was in sorrow and in grief because their understanding of the truth was poor. It was poor. If we would only allow the Holy Spirit to teach our hearts the truth, then the ignorance would dissipate and we would not have to sorrow as those who have no hope. So, what this passage is all about is that Paul is about to apply the truth to the ignorance and set their hearts at ease. When you understand the truth about what happens to a man or woman, boy or girl that dies in Christ, not just, you know, it's got to be more for us than they went to heaven. They're in a better place. When people say that about their dearly departed, recently passed away loved one, I know they're in a better place now. You know what? They usually say it through tears. And there's nothing wrong with tears during a moment of grieving. But somehow it's got to be more for us than cliches like they're in a better place. I know they're not hurting now. Does that bring hope? Absolutely. But you know what? What does the depth of the truth of the Bible, what has God truly said about those that die in with faith in Him? If we had a good and right and deep understanding of these powerful, life-altering, life-changing, darkness-erasing truth, then we would not have to sorrow as those that have no hope. So that's why Paul said it. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you would sorrow as those that have no hope. Let me read you a couple more verses in this passage. Verse 14. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Now, the truth be told, if their question was, Paul, what happens to those that died before the return of the king? All he really had to give them was verses 14 and 15. Let me read verses 14 and 15 and you'll see what I'm saying. He answers their question very matter-of-factly. Verse 14 again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, like, and what he's saying is, in the same way, God will bring with Him, with Jesus, those who sleep in Jesus. There's their answer to their question already. Look at verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Now there's something worth saying right there. There is no hope in the word of man. There are a lot of well-meaning Christians. Let me say that differently. There are a lot of well-meaning, good-intentioned preachers of the gospel that spend a lot of time behind pulpits with their Bible open in front of them, preaching the gospel according to that man or that woman. What we have to say as men and women, if it's not founded in the very real and right truth of the word, is bondage. We have a people coming to us with needs, with confusion, with difficulty, with darkness in their heart and life. They're searching for light. They're searching for answers. They come to the people that they think they can receive it from. The Christian men and women that are in the places of importance, so to speak, in the pastoral roles, the evangelist, the missionary, the teacher of the gospel, the one that they know should have the answers because they proclaim Jesus Christ all the time. And I want you to know something. Even if they come to you with a very real need and you give them a very heartfelt answer, if the answer that you're giving them is based on your opinion and your version of what life is about and how it works and how we can find answers, if you are not giving them the real and right truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then all you are doing to them is confusing them further, blinding them, making them think they have received an answer, and giving them another chain to lash around their neck to bring them down and burden them and put them into a deeper form of bondage. The problem with so many churches today is that they are slapped full of people, every seat's taken up. Preachers are standing behind pulpits, and they're not preaching the truth. There are so many fads that sweep through the American church. What's popular now? And I want to tell you something. If it's a fad, if it's a newfangled idea, if it's some new program, new 12-step self-help process, if it's a new New York Times bestseller book that even the secular world is taking up and reading, you ought to be aware that if you're not giving them the good old gospel, give me that old-time religion. In other words, give me that stuff that was good enough for the disciples and the first-generation church. Give me the teachings of Paul and Peter and John and James. Give me the words of Jesus Christ. Don't give me your version of a self-help book because someone with the title of Christian on their vest wrote it. If you're not preaching the truth, preachers, teachers, be sure you are giving the real and right answers. Because if you're not giving truth, you're not giving them a hope like Paul is talking about, so they don't have to sorrow anymore. You're giving them more burden and more bondage because all they're going to do is seek after the answers in this newfangled idea, and they're going to find out what Jesus said was the truth. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and you will not come to the Father except by me. You see, that's an absolutely exclusive statement Jesus made. He said, I am the truth. Here's what that means. Everything other than me, my words, and my way is a lie. I am the way. There is no other road to the Father but me. I don't care how popular, how well off the ministry is, if they're not preaching the words and the gospel truth of Jesus, that which Paul taught and underlined, and Peter and James and John, if they're not teaching the true word of God, then you're not teaching the truth, the way, and the life. Jesus said, I am the life. That means this, truth seekers, anything else apart from him is death. Paul is telling them in this verse, here's the bottom line. When the king returns, we are all going to experience it together. He then proceeds to tell them just how that's going to go down. How's this rapture, this return of the king, going to look, going to feel, going to sound? What's it going to be like, Paul? Will you come back next week, Truth Seeker? Because we're going to get details on the truth about the rapture, the return of the king. Until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.